Today's message, say it with me. Winning the battle in my... One more time. Winning the... In my mind. Before we get going, how many would say your thought life, your mind... I'm not talking about just dirty stuff, stuff like that, but I'm talking about just negative stuff, past things, worrying, stressing, fretting. In your mind, that battle is tough. Can I see your hand? See, that's most of us. That's most of us. So this is really important today, winning the battle in my mind. Let's go, Raj. We're going to do what we can. The Bible says to love the Lord, and look at some scripture, with all your what? Mind. Several times Jesus said it. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Say it with me, with all your what? So I'm to love God with my mind. How can I love? I'm so in love with Jesus. Some people are like when they love Jesus, they're in a trance or something. You know what I'm saying? Listen, you can love God. Listen, the best way you'll love God is with your mind. You know what I'm saying? Loving God's not looking kooky. Excuse me. You understand or not? Oh, I get into service and all of a sudden I'm loving God. Well, how about the rest of the week? Where are you at? Choices you're making. You understand or not? So Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your mind. He said it again in Mark. Let's look. Luke. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your what? And with all your mind. So there's something about loving God and about the mind that's critical in our life. And that's what I want to talk about today. For me to love the Lord, I've got to think. You understand or not? I'm serious. I mean, I've done church work for years and years and years and years and years. I've met some of the craziest people on the planet, and one thing they didn't do, a lot of them, is think. Excuse me. People that get duped into Christian stuff on TV and giving their money and their fortunes, for crying out loud, to crazy people. And I'm sitting there going, watching the same guy going, he's a gnat. Doesn't line up with the Bible. People don't think. Are you listening? Think, man. Use your mind. And you have to do that to love God. What is thinking anyway? It means to have in my mind to think. It's to employ or work my mind. It takes work to think. Okay? It means to focus attention, effort in my mind. So if I'm going to love the Lord, I've got to focus attention and I've got to take effort in my mind on loving Him. You understand? I know we'd like to get struck by lightning. I know we'd like to serve God without commitment. I know we'd love to serve God without having to keep His commands and do the right thing. But you can't. You can tell me your little story how you went to church when you were a little kid. That's getting old on me right quick. You listening or not? I used to, and now you're an idiot. And you're giving credit to God for living this? Are you seriously kidding me here? Say, strong message today. Here we go. All righty. Tim, it sounds like we're at ball practice, doesn't it, son? Here we go. Come on. This is how the coaches talk out there. Let's keep looking. It means to believe, to think something. This effort you're putting into it, so often we think the wrong things and it ends up with wrong beliefs. If you take that same amount of energy and you put it into believing the right things and thinking the right things, it will end up with a belief in your mind and a changed life. It's incredible. Why do people have a changed life and others don't? It's because some use their head and they love the Lord with all their mind. Let's talk about it. To win, I want to win this battle in my mind. I want to win at what I think. You got to make that choice. I want to win at what I believe. I don't want to think, well, I don't know. Maybe my belief ain't right. Maybe this stuff ain't... You know what? I want to win. I want to know absolutely for sure that what I believe is the right thing. I'm going to make that effort. I want to win at what I do or what I don't do. Choices I make in life. I want to be a winner. It's going to take effort if I do that. To win in my mind, you know what it is to me? It's to be sane and untroubled. That's what I want in my life. When all hell's breaking loose around me, I still want to be able to make it. You understand? This stuff pays off, by the way, guys. This is incredible. To win in my mind, what is it? It's to be productive and valuable to myself and to other people in my life. I want to be that kind of person. Well, if it's going to happen, I'm going to have to what? Think, and there's a battle going on in my mind that I've got to fight. Okay, so that's what we're talking about today. Winning the battle in my mind. So where did I come up with the stuff for the message? The Bible. Amen. Here's what I did. I took my Bible. I looked up think, thinking, thought, mind, anything related to mind, mindful. Tons of stuff in the New Testament. Tons of stuff. It'll take you a long time. I did it. Been studying it. A lot of stuff on the mind. Matter of fact, we're going to have a message on the mind this week and one on next week because there's so much stuff. So I broke it down from the Bible, looking at what the Bible had to say about the mind. First of all, this is sort of fast stuff. A blind mind. Say that with me. Keep you awake. A blind mind. You can have a blind mind. How many know somebody with a blind mind? Yeah, you know you do. The Bible says, in whom the God of this world, Satan, has what? Blinded the minds of them which what? Believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whose image of God, should shine unto them. So you can have a blind mind if you want to. I don't want a blind mind. Okay? And for me not to have a blind mind, it's going to take me doing something. You don't have to do much to have a blind mind. Okay? I saw something else in the New Testament. Here it is. You can have a what?
Double mind.
The Bible says a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. James goes on to say, draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you what? Double-minded. I'm a Christian. I went to church, and yet you're living life over here, and you're making all kinds of horrible choices. And do you see what I'm saying? Is that the way to live the Christian life? Is that what it's all about? Tick tock, up, down, back, forth, up, what? Hey, is that what it's about? No. A lot of people are like that. Amen. That's not winning the battle, having a blind mind. Winning the battle is not having a double mind. So often a double mind is the Bible says this, but you think this. Oh yeah, that's it. The Bible says this, and you go, yeah, but I think. You see the difference? Double mind. And sometimes you'll get in on the Bible because you like some of the things it says, but a lot of times you don't because you don't like what it says. Double mind. That's not loving the Lord with all your mind. It gets worse. You can have a blind mind. You have a double mind, which is very dangerous. Because you can convince yourself you're a Christian. You can convince yourself that you're right. You can convince yourself that choices you're making are good, but they're really bad. But then you've got this mind. It appears in the New Testament. A reprobate mind. Matter of fact, Romans 1 is talking about creation. And then it goes on to say that they worshipped trees and the creature. We do worse than that. We say something blew up way back when. You know, we came from some slime that crawled out of some swamp. That's our ancestry. That's where we came from. Did you know the Bible doesn't say that? Yes or no? Not at all. It says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're created. But you know what God will let you do? If you don't want to love Him with your mind, are y'all listening? If you don't want to love Him with your mind and you want to think the way you want to think, He'll let you. Absolutely. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. We all can relate in this room today to doing things that are not convenient. Guys, we do crazy things, don't we? And we do crazy things to go do the crazy things, don't we? And life becomes very what? Inconvenient, doesn't it? It's right in the Word. And we all do that. We can have that kind of mind. What is a reprobate mind? It's a defiled mind. Unto the pure, things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing what? But even their what? Mind and conscience is defiled. So, does that sound like winning the battle, those three things? Blind mind, double mind, reprobate mind? Well, so far I ain't helped anybody in the room, have I? I kept reading. Now we're talking. Say that with me. A what? One more time. A what? A little bit louder. It's not hard. A ready mind. A ready mind. These were more noble. It's talking about some believers at a place called Berea in the New Testament. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they, say it with me, received the Word of God with all readiness of mind. And they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. And so, a ready mind. What does it mean to have a ready mind? If I'm going to love the Lord my God, that's where we started. With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my mind, I've got to be ready to receive His Word. Would you say that with me? I have to be ready to receive His Word. One more time. I have to be ready to receive His Word. And believe it or not, guys, I'm not up here judging you. You can live life any way you want to, make the choices you want to make, and at the end of the day, that's it. Have at it. That's all I can do. I can tell you the truth. I can get you ticked off at me when you come in here to motivate you, maybe, rile you a little bit, so maybe something will start working up there. But at the end of the day, if you don't receive the Word, it ain't happening. It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. You will never love the Lord your God with all your mind. You never will. It's not that complicated. I must have a ready mind. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, it's long, is Psalm 119. It talks about the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. I put a few of them up for you today. Thy Word. Why do I have a ready mind? Why do I receive into my mind the Word of God? Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin against God. Why do I receive it? And you know what a ready mind reminds me of? When I played baseball. You know, you never stand, if you're the shortstop, or I don't care where you play, you don't stand flat-footed. Okay? You don't stand like this. When they're out there, they're going to hit the ball. You can't move. If you're playing real ball with guys that can knock the snot out of the ball. You know? So you have to get down like this, and the best way is to get on the balls of your feet. Did you know baseball's a slow game? This will wear you out. But what am I doing? What am I doing on the balls of my feet? I'm what? I'm ready for the ball come to who? To me. And that's how I see this idea of being ready in your mind. Being on the balls of your feet. Not being flat-footed. Not being lackadaisical. Being ready to receive the Word. And to be honest with you, I feel that way about so many of you when you come to fellowship on Sunday morning. That's how you make me feel to the audience I preach to here. I feel like you're ready to receive the Word. I do. I feel like that many, many times. That's an awesome feeling as a pastor. The law of thy mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver. If you're going to have to love the Lord with all your mind, that Word of God is going to have priority over your job. Over what you're doing in your career and everything. I'm not saying you're going to quit your job or nothing, but give it the priority it deserves, which is first place. A ready mind. And you're going to find out you're going to be better in all these other areas when you do that. Forever, O Lord, your Word is settled in heaven. Why would I not receive what's forever settled in heaven? Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all day to receive God's word. It's not fuss with God about it or make excuses about His Word, but you go, wow, I'm so glad you care for me to teach me these things, to tell me these things, because you are giving me the capability of my life being changed. You understand? Thy Word's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. I want to receive that. How many wants to walk around the dark all the time when there's a flashlight or there's a switch on the wall? But when you're not ready and you don't receive the Word, it's walking in darkness. I love these couple of verses here. The entrance of your Word gives what? Light. It gives understanding to the what? And so many of us, we make excuses, guys. We're talking about thinking today. I know I'm wearing you out. But listen, we make excuses about, I don't know the Bible. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. I can't understand the what. But you'll read the Wall Street Journal or something. That's funny right there. And you can run a computer and all this kind of stuff. And you can figure out your cell phone, but you can't read the Bible. You are really funny is what you are. Did you know the Bible, the old King James I use, it's written on a fifth grade level. It's been put to the computers up, down, left, right, the these and the thous and all the things we complain about. And they spit it out, fifth grade level. It's up to you if you're smarter than a fifth grader. You know what I'm saying? You hear me today? A ready mind. If you want to win the battle in your mind, then I'm ready to receive God's Word in my mind. I'm ready. I'm on the balls of my feet. I want to receive it. I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to believe it. Because thinking is me giving effort and attention and focus, and it ends up with my beliefs. Ready, man. And I wrote just a few things about the law of God. Do you know why we can skate through life in the United States of America, so many of us, without much biblical training and teaching? It's because you live in America. So much of the laws of our country, believe it or not, come from the Bible. And a lot of your beliefs that you have, you don't even realize it. You didn't even go to church, some of you. But you already have certain beliefs because you live in this great country. That's God's blessing on America. But there's a whole bunch of stuff that you can get. It's called the law of God. This isn't bad. The law of God's not a bad thing. The law of God's a good thing. Because here's the problem. I see another law in my members. It's warring against the law of my mind. And it brings me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Without you doing anything, you're a sinner. Without you doing anything, it's easy to think the wrong thoughts. Without you doing anything, you can sin. And that's happening. And you need something to fight that. And that is winning the battle of your mind. That's the law of God. That's God's Word. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death? This is a battle going on. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. So when you love the Lord your God with your mind, you're choosing to follow His law, His teaching, instead of the law of the flesh. Does that make any sense, anybody? That's what that is. That's winning the battle. This is the covenant that I'll make with them after these days, says the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts and in their what? I will write them. Did you know I've watched it over the years, people who were backward, people who didn't have any biblical upbringing in church, hell raisers like nobody's business, like my mama, like me. I've seen even very uneducated people. When they made an effort to try to learn the Scriptures, and they'd have verses, they'd keep them on 3x5 cards, and they'd start learning the Scripture. It's amazing how that takes root in their mind. There's something. The Bible says the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts to the dividing asunder of the joints and the marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. It's an incredible thing, God's Word. Y'all listening today?
We're talking about winning the battle of my mind. And if you're zoning out on this message, that should be a real good clue of where you're at. Okay? I'm trying my best to holler. I got pictures and everything. I don't know where else you're going to find it. You hearing me today? It's going to take you that ye may be mindful of the what? Words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles, and our Lord and Savior. So a ready mind is to receive the Word, to receive the law of God, because there's a war going on inside of us. It's the battle of the flesh and the spirit. Keep looking. Believe it or not, we're not that much longer, but we are a little bit. A renewed mind. Say that with me. A what? Isn't that the goal? Wait, a blind mind? Double mind? No. Reprobate mind? Oh, no. So then I have a what kind of mind? A ready mind. I get a ready mind and I start receiving on the balls of my feet His Word when it comes at me, and I make an effort and I catch it. It's the law of God, and now I've got a fighting chance. I've got a fighting chance to beat the flesh, the sucker that's trying to kill me here. You see, and I've got a chance now. You see? And now, a renewed mind. Because that's my problem. I'm born in sin. I have no problem thinking sinful thoughts. I didn't have to go to school for it or nothing. You see what I'm saying? But now I've got a fighting chance to have this renewed mind. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? Present yourself. If you want it, you can get it. You're going to show up for class. If you want it, present yourself. Your bodies, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service in this verse. And be not conformed to this what? But be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what's good, what's acceptable, and what's the perfect will of God, or the complete or the mature thing I should be doing as a child of God. It all goes back to the mind. Have I lost you? And be renewed in the what? Of your mind. So just to zone out, or to think you can go at the beach and hum, or go to a revival service and just get all in the spirit, end of the day, when you come home, you're going to have to think. And if you want to live a life for God and win that battle and be that light that He wants you to be and to be effective in your life, doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. It means that when the problems happen, you're able to make it. Look at that. Because I'll never leave you nor forsake you. A renewed mind. That's our goal. Winning the battle in my mind. I will love the Lord with my mind. I included this. I wanted to just go a little further with you. How do I love the Lord with my mind? I think it's a good question. How do I love the Lord with my mind? He says I'm to love Him with my heart, which is my will. I'm to love Him with my strength, so I'm going to have to make the effort to do it. And we know, really, at the end of the day, it all comes down to the mind. I've got to love Him with my mind. So how do I love God with my mind? How do I know I'm loving God with my mind? Since you're saying it's not sending somebody some money, if you're saying it's not getting a handkerchief and waving it, if you're saying it's not going, what is it? How do I love the Lord with my mind? Lots of scripture. Here's what Jesus said. He that hath my commands, that's the law, that's His Word, His teaching. He that hath my commands and what? Keeps them. He it is that what? I think we solved the puzzle. How do I know I'm loving God with my mind? I'm ready to receive His Word. And my mind is transformed. and I have fruit. Not for everybody else to see, but for me to see that I am making different decisions. You understand? I'm choosing to follow Him. I'm choosing to make decisions that would be right by Him. Jesus said, so he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. He that loves me, wait a minute, shall be what? Loved of my Father. See, because we don't know the Bible, we think we can live like we want to, come to church on Sunday, and somehow God loves me because He gave His Son for me. Well, He did give His Son for you. And He does love you. That's why He did that. But He's like any daddy that sees the kids raising hell and living a life that's disaster. And he ain't at home going, oh, I just love them. No, he's going to do like a lot of daddies do. He's going to whoop your tail. That's what the Bible says. If your father loves you, he chastens you. That's what the Bible says. But he will let you go your own way after a while and let you just go ahead and have that old mind that's just shot. You see what I'm saying? So don't think he's sitting there loving you while you're doing and making bad choices with your mind. That's not true. Okay? Jesus answered unto him, if a man love me, he'll keep my what? And my Father will what? Love him, and we will come to him and we'll make our abode with him. So when we don't love His Word and we don't make the effort to keep His Word, God's not pleased and our mind is going to be warped. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. You don't earn God's love by keeping His commandments. He loves you, period. He loved you and gave His Son for you. But you're not going to have that relationship with God. You're not going to have the power of God in your life. You're not going to have the walk of God in your life. You're going to be making bad decisions. You're going to be fooling yourself. You're going to have a double mind. You're going to have a blinded mind. And that's disastrous. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. God wants you to live life to the full. But it's going to take you using your what? Mind. I know I'm getting a little ugly today and probably lots of bad things I've said already. But it irks me when we hear a preacher will get up and say something like, you know, plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans. Yeah, God would like to do that for you, but you know, you're going to have to use your mind. You know, and God didn't come, thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have what? Life, and you might have it what? But you're going to have to use your mind. He didn't just going to give you that life and that abundant life with you making bad decisions. Does that make any sense? That's what I'm talking about. Winning the battle in my mind. It's going to take effort, man. I'll be spiritually minded. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the what? Mind the things of the... You'd be surprised if you'll have a ready mind. If you receive His Word, your mind will be renewed. And that Spirit inside of you is going to help you make decisions. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Don't you want peace in your life? Then you're going to have to think with your mind. Amen. Because the carnal mind's enmity against God. Just doing the things the way you feel, by the seat of the pants, you fly, what you know. That's enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed it can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. No. We're to live after the Spirit. We're almost done. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I'm not saying when you have your mind, you receive everything, you're always going to know all the answers and
life isn't going to throw you loops and turns every once in a while. But I'm going to tell you something. You have the Spirit of God with you. And He's going to help you. He's going to help you through mess. Hard decisions, hard times. Look what it says. And he that searches the heart knows what is the what? Of the what? The Spirit. And it's huge to make that decision to love the Lord, to hide His law in your heart, to have that light, to be ready to receive, to have your mind transformed, and the Spirit is with you and knows how to work that Word inside of you. It's hard to explain it, guys, but it's true. Okay? I'm done with the message with this verse. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Romans 8:28. We lost the 28, but just trust me on it. It's Romans 8:28. Amen? Here we go. And we know that all things work together for good. If you could listen real good right now. And we know that all things work together for good to them who what? Love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You know what? I love this verse. It's my life verse. It was my mama's favorite verse. But I saw it different this week. It's going to take me using my mind. We use this verse sometimes, and we know all things run together for good. You love God. I mean, we make disasters of our life, and we claim this scripture. Or we make disasters of our life, and some other Christian will come along and say, well, all things run together for good. Instead of going, you know, I love you, but you're an idiot. You know, we need to work on you here a little bit. Put something else up in your crazy head. Amen? You see what I'm saying? Listen, I thought about this verse this week. We know all things work together for good to them who love God. What is loving God? How do I know I love God? Somebody tell me. I do what? I keep His what? His commandments, His Word. Oh! So, and we know all things work together for good to those that keep His commandments. To them who are the called, according to His purpose. You understand? I reviewed my life some this week. I was married 28 years. I was glad for that. But you know, that was a choice I made to stay married all those years. I really am getting off in some gray area here. But I'm going anyway. There were many times along the years where I could have backed away from that marriage. And to be honest with you guys, it wouldn't have been the wrong decision. A lot of the things I went through, I chose to go through. I see things different now. I'll just put you on notice. If you commit adultery on the person you're married to, they ought to leave you. Quote me. Did you hear me, yes or no? Quote me. Just quote me. Quote. Well, no, that's not being like Jesus. No, in His day, they were stoned to death. You see what I'm saying? I know that's hard preaching. That's hard preaching. I'm just saying sometimes the decisions that we make in our life, decisions we make in our life and pain that comes into our life, it goes back to decisions we made. And I know that's a little gray area. I know I'm getting off a little bit there. But you know what, guys? If you can't say I do and mean it, don't say it. If you can't be faithful, don't get married. Y'all listening or not? Am I blowing smoke here or what? Now, I'm supposed to get married, let you just cheat all over me. That is the stupidest thing on the planet, and it's not in the Word of God. And you know how I know it's not in the Word of God? Because I've read the book. Do you see what I'm saying? Come on. I'm not trying to be ugly. But I hope out of my pain and my struggle, I'm hoping I can be smarter and use my mind. What's wrong with that, guys? Right? Yes or no?